Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I'd like to begin with a question. Do you like surprises? I may have asked you this before, but if so, it was a long time ago and I cannot remember. I was thinking of surprises today, and you will see why as we proceed. But surprises, some people like them, even love them, and others hate them. Personally, it depends on what the surprise is. If it is my birthday and I turn the corner unawares and a bevy of friends and family jump out and yell, "Surprise!" Well then, sure, I welcome it. I remember, as if it was yesterday, that when I turned 16, my mom had organized a group of friends to be hiding upstairs when I arrived home from work. Yes, I was already working at 16. And when I came through the door and turned up those stairs to see their smiling faces waiting for me was, well, one of the highlights of my childhood. It really was. In my mind's eye, I still see them, and I recall the good feeling. But there have been times in my life, as I'm sure there are in yours, when I have been surprised with bad news. It could be a simple, really ultimately meaningless bad surprise, like when the 2007 New England Patriots football team was undefeated, 18-0, and we lost to the New York Giants in that year's Super Bowl. Boy, was I surprised to leave that game 18-1. I love Patriots football. But it's only a game, right? And then there is the complex bad surprise, like the time a dear friend and a mentor of mine in ministry abandoned his wife, his children and grandchildren, as well as colleagues, his church, and people like me who looked up to him. He moved to Thailand and took up a relationship with a woman, not his wife. Now that was a bad surprise, which I shall never, ever forget. And frankly, I have struggled to forgive. For me, I love certain surprises. I hate others. Maybe you can relate to me. Again, I ask, do you like surprises? And the reason I ask is because many times God surprises us, doesn't he? And by this, I do not mean only in the circumstances of life, but I also mean in the Bible. We could be reading along, expecting and anticipating that God is going to do something, but then we get a surprise. We thought he would do A, but instead, seemingly out of the middle of nowhere, he does B. And we scratch our heads and wonder, what's up? In this sense, God is unpredictable. The Bible itself speaks to how God surprises people. I have two passages in mind. The first is in the Old Testament, and the second is in the New Testament. In Psalm 40, David is writing and he says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." That was Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. Psalm 40, verse 5. "The wonders which you, God, have done." This speaks to surprise. God is doing something we do not know or expect or even understand. His thoughts towards us are wonderful. They are too numerous to count. No one can compare with God. In this context, the salvation the Lord provides to his people is a wonder. We would not predict that holy God would have mercy and compassion on unholy people, but he does. How wonderfully surprising. "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. And then in the New Testament, let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Actually, I could have chosen many different verses in all of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to highlight how surprised people were by Jesus, in particular the Jews in the locations where Christ ministered, healed, and where he taught. But I have chosen Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Mark is the gospel of action, and the pace is furious. The apostle Peter, having reported to John Mark what Jesus did, and Mark recording it for us. Mark 1, 21 to 22 says, "They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Notice the crowd was amazed at his teaching. They had real amazement, surprise, and a genuine sense of wonder. How is it that this man Jesus had such authority? He was certainly not teaching like the legalistic scribes. For the people in Capernaum, the Lord left quite an impression. When he was in the synagogue teaching, they were amazed. And again, I think this speaks to how God surprises us. Certainly, the way in which God the Father sent Jesus the Son into the world as a humble teacher in Capernaum of all places, that is a surprise. The Jewish people thought so. In fact, Jesus will surprise again and again and again. He is full of surprises. Read of him in the Gospels in your Bible at the beginning of the New Testament. Now, you are probably wondering why I bring this up. Maybe you even have scratched your head and asked, is this God is? And is this Pastor Mark? And aren't we in Genesis chapter 4 dealing with Cain? But I've been listening, and suddenly we've taken this turn into surprises and the Psalms and Mark's Gospel. Where is he going with this? Here is where I am going, to Genesis 4, verse 15. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15, God surprises us. At least, God surprised me. Let me read the text for us. "So the Lord said to Cain, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, so that no one finding him would slay him." I've just read verse 15 of Genesis 4, and this is not what I was expecting. Were you? If you have been following in the chapter with us thus far, then you know Cain killed Abel. God pursued Cain, offering him God's grace and mercy. Cain refused. Actually, he gave a very impolite refusal. So the Lord God brought his judgment against Cain. Then Cain complained about his punishment. But then, here at verse 15, God does what? God offers to defend Cain. God offers to protect him. As J. Vernon McGee puts it, quote, "This is strange. God is actually harboring a murderer, a criminal." I agree with McGee. McGee and me have the same thought. How strange. God is actually harboring a murderer, a criminal. That is who Cain was. Since if I ask what you were anticipating at this point in the story, I cannot hear your reply. This radio, this podcast, you are there and I am here. But let me tell you what I was expecting and see if my expectation matches yours. I thought God would bring down the death penalty upon Cain. I anticipated that God would have Cain put to death. But instead, we get the opposite. God preserves Cain's life. We have already talked about capital punishment here in Genesis 4, and you might remember that at Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, God will require that when one person takes another person's life, the life of the murderer, himself or herself, will be required. Life for life. Since God will require this, Why does God not make an example of Cain in Genesis 4 and bring an end to Cain's life? He murdered Abel, and now being found guilty, why was his crime not punishable by death? The reasons, I believe, are twofold. First, by preserving Cain's life, this demonstrated to others how serious God takes sin in general and the sin of murder in detail. And I will say more on this tomorrow. Second, the penalty of a long life in exile was a greater punishment than ending Cain's life. To be a roving exile on the earth, a vagrant and a wanderer, was a greater punishment than instantaneous death. To quote Merrill Unger, "Sometimes he who dies is happier than he who lives and suffers many deaths." Sometimes he who dies is happier than he who lives and suffers many deaths. We will soon be out of time for today, and here's a natural place to pause in the narrative. Obviously, I have much more to say about verse 15 and the surprise that God has in store for us. As you read Genesis 4, why do you think God has chosen to preserve and defend Cain after all that has transpired between God and Cain? I am sincerely interested in what you think. Why not pop me an email overnight and give me your opinion? Let's have a little two-way dialogue from time to time. Actually, I am open to this anytime. I do love to hear from you. The email is mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. And the mailing address, as always, God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. So please do reach out to me, and then join us again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.